father's attorney was Jamie Dutton.
Oh my gosh. Wait, I forgot. Duh.
Hello, Addison.
Billy, you've got a new setup today. We don't have the books behind you. What's going on?
Changed it up a little bit. I'm glad you noticed. I'll explain a little later. I'm just going to tease you on that a little bit. Some things shifted around. I have to move some things. My stuff may or may not have gotten packed up in boxes and thrown out on the yard. Needless to say, I'm in a different... No, that didn't happen.
Oh,
well, I'll tell you later about it.
This is therapy session. Well, y'all, I'm so excited to discuss episode 3 and 4 of Dutton Ranch. Or is it just 3?
Just 3 episode 3.
Just episode 3.
You're ahead of us, Addison.
I know.
So Addison has one more episode that she's watched that none of us have watched. You got to remember what you're not supposed to spoil yet.
Well, I'll remember. I looked at our show rundown, but my problem is yes, when I end up watching, you know, 4 episodes before everyone else, then I kind of forget, like, what has actually been released, what hasn't, you know, all that fun stuff. But okay, we are going to discuss episode 3 today. But first, what's the poll that you have cooking right now on YouTube?
Well, a big hello to everybody who's jumped into the chat already. We've gotten some great questions from Big Joe, as well as Kyla Cush is on YouTube watching, Chad's checking in, and some others. And this week's poll question is a fun one. Okay, let's talk about Oriana. A, love her, she's young Beth. B, not sure yet. C, girl is way too old for Carter. And D, I cringe when she's on screen. Right now, with a lead that is quickly shrinking, I'm not sure yet is the consensus on Oriana.
Okay. She doesn't bug me.
I'm with the majority there. I'm not sure yet. We can talk about that in a little bit here, because girls just giving me some girlfriend PTSD is all I'm saying.
I feel like we walk down memory lane of a lot of your, you know, high school relationships, and they all end up with some PTSD, Billy.
This show has been triggering a few things for me in some unexpected ways, but you know, that's neither here nor there. We don't need to get there, I guess.
Alrighty, we're going to do last week's trivia, the answer at the end of this podcast, and this week's trivia also at the end. Are we going to do both at the end, or we're... Yes.
Correct. Let's move all trivia to the end, right before or right after. How about right before the Q&A? Is that okay for you?
Yeah, that works for me.
Okay. Yeah. We'll just put it towards the end. And we'll also have the music of this week's episode, which was, there's a great song there at the very end. I hope people picked up on.
Let's dive right into episode 3. Let's start with your favorite character. Actually, I don't know if it's your favorite character, Beulah Jackson.
She's not far from my favorite character. I think she's a really fascinating character, and I really like Annette Bening as an actress, and I think she's been pretty interesting. But something happened during episode 3 that has me thinking that she's not the real enemy here. And it also ties up one of our big mysteries that we talked about last week about who the father to Joaquin and Rob Will is. I got 3 clips to help support this theory. Are you ready?
Okay.
These are all from episode 3. The first one here, we have Beulah in the car when she takes a phone call from a man named Mariano.
Yes?
We have a lot of cattle moving this month.
I'm aware.
I expect no surprises.
And I expect you to let me run my ranch as I see fit.
No surprises, Beulah.
Now, if you recall, I think it was episode 1 or 2, Beulah mentioned another guy, maybe the father to one of her boys, needing to give her space to let her run her ranch. So we're led to believe that that is who that call was. Mariano is the name that comes up on the cell phone. You're with me so far?
I am. This is interesting.
I haven't even really said anything yet. I'm just recapping. All right. Here we go. Clip number 2. This is... all right, this is actually a little bit of it's relevant to this conversation, but something happens at the very end that I think is one of the all-time great Beth Dutton lines that's going to cause us to pivot, but it's worth it, trust me.
Okay.
My name's Joaquin Regis. My parents, they never had the means or the chance to raise me. Some say family and business don't mix, but sometimes that's all we have.
Oh, you remind me of my father's attorney.
Is that a good thing?
It's not ideal.
I love her.
Her father's attorney was... Jamie Dutton!
Oh my gosh. Wait, I forgot.
It took me like 3 days to get to that. That's how I looked right there. You know, when I finally figured out, I'm like, oh my God, Beth! This is unbelievable. If you remember, she's got the knife on the mantle that she used to kill her brother, and now she's going around telling people, it's not great that you remind me of my father's attorney, i.e. the brother that's missing because I stabbed him and threw him in the train station. Oh my gosh.
Stop.
You want to see it again?
Sure. I feel like you're going to play it.
Let's watch it one more time because it's so good. It's so good it deserves a second play.
My name is Joaquin Regis. My parents, they never had the means or the chance to raise me. Some say family and business don't mix, but sometimes that's all we have.
Oh, you remind me of my father's attorney.
Is that a good thing?
It's not ideal.
It's not ideal, Joaquin.
I cannot believe I did not. That did not, when I first watched that, I did not clock that. Oh?
At the beginning there, the reason I shared that is because he said his name was Joaquin Reyes. Okay? We now know his last name is different from the Jacksons, and he explains the whole adoption business. Yada, yada, yada. Number three. You ready? Mm-hmm. This is the third one, and as Dutton, we all know, the secrets always lie in the credits. All right, we have some staff names here, and I'm going to pause when we get to the important name of... There. Mariano Reyes. Joaquin Reyes. Mariano on the phone, Joaquin Reyes' dad. That's who's got Beulah under her thumb, played by Raul Max Trujillo, who you might remember from other Taylor Sheridan shows. And some other things, but.
Leave it to Billy. No one watches the credits, but Billy Dukes does. And he will sniff you out.
This is like, I mean, how many times have we done this where we've watched the credits and pulled out these little clues now? So, go back to that first clip where Mariano says, I'm moving a lot of cattle. Is he really moving cows?
No, I definitely think like the cartel is involved. Like you do have the ranch aspect, but it's a front for the cartel.
I'm thinking either drugs or bodies. You know, this is either human trafficking or he's moving bodies of some sort.
Surely it's drugs.
I hope so.
And you're in Texas, so you're not far from the border, kind of.
That's a pretty big human trafficking port as well, though.
I know it is.
I mean, that does make the show quite a bit darker than I want it to go. If it's bodies, if it's some sort of sex trafficking ring, I'm hoping for drugs. You know,
what a statement! Surely, to your point, I think it would be really dark for it to be human trafficking. You're not wrong on that. It is a very common concern in that area. That just feels really heavy.
Does. This is
great work on that family tree. Do you have a new family tree updated for us, visual?
Wow, Addison, as a matter of fact, do I have a family tree?
That's what I thought. I was like, there's no way that he doesn't not have a family tree. All righty.
This is the new Dutton Jackson family tree. You see Mariano with Joaquin. We don't know who Rob Will's father is. And then the rest of the staff there. Some people think it could still be Everett. I do not think it's Everett based on, well, I guess the second thing I want to talk about, which is that really sort of quietly dramatic conversation between Everett and Beulah after the funeral. That was interesting.
Mm-hmm. Do you want to explain to people? I'm worried to talk too much about their relationship since I did watch episode 4. So can you debrief with people of what happened at the funeral?
Well, we talked a lot about, like, is Everett dirty? Because it seemed clear that there was some sort of relationship between Everett and Beulah that we didn't know about. And last week, right at the beginning, they're at the funeral for the old sheriff. Apparently the old sheriff died, which is a little suspicious in its own right, but I'm just going to let it go. Afterwards, they're talking, and they seem cordial. You know, they're comfortable with each other, but cordial. And then Beulah says, you know, she touches him on his shirt or something and says, you know, I really miss you. And I counted 18 seconds pass before he finally responds with, take care. And I was like, oh, man, that is ice cold. Woo!
That is. Slit. He just hung that one out to dry.
I'm going to...
Woof.
Should I ever come across one of these ex-girlfriends that I so frequently, I'm going to use that. Hey, good to see you, Billy. 9, 10, 11, 18. Take care, Sarah, or, you know, whoever. It ends.
I can't.
Okay, so to get to that, we learned that they have a relationship. We don't know if he's related to Rob Will or anybody. Or really even the nature of their relationship, presumably, though, it was romantic at some point. And as far as we know, Everett doesn't have a wife or kids or extended family that he sort of leans on.
Well, I think what this does is this kind of sets up the question in our head of it makes us ponder, wait a minute, is Everett good or bad? Like, what side will he end up being on? I think that's what that funeral conversation scene kind of starts opening up the can for us.
I'm leaning more towards good at this point.
Okay,
that's all I got. Jeez, man, I cannot wait till we're on the same plane. Good question.
I know,
here
I'm going to stop watching ahead from here on out.
Good question here from Jeremiah, who says, your theory about drugs would change the whole tone of the show. Absolutely. But, you know, we're still new into it, right? We think we know what this show is because we've seen Yellowstone and same characters, but there's no reason why they wouldn't be battling some sort of drug cartel in South Texas.
Well,
totally plausible, and then, so I'm here for it.
In all reality, we might not get answers to that this season. You know, like, this might be a big cliffhanger that then we cross into for season two.
I'm loving no, you're right, because someone in our comments of some of the videos we did pointed out that the actor Raul Max Trujillo was only listed in two episodes of Dutton Ranch on IMDb. IMDb is famously inaccurate, though, and incomplete, though, so that could very well change. But it could be something along those lines. Side note here, loving the interaction here in the chat. Some great questions and theories here, including Big Joe, who says he thinks the season finale of Marshalls is setting up a crossover between Dutton Ranch and Marshalls. I hope not yet. You know, I hope Marshalls gets its legs under it a little bit more, and then they cross over for some reason. Feels too soon.
I stopped watching. Do you know why there would be a crossover? Like, what's been happening on Marshalls?
I believe Casey sold East Camp. Correct me if I'm wrong here. If you watched Marshalls at the end, I believe Casey sold East Camp, and that's the reason.
Gotcha.
Here's another one from James, who's checking in. Jai Courtney is playing a wild card. I wonder if his character is destined to not make it to next season. I don't think he will, but he's got to come back at some point too, right? This guy's just off in rehab. And the show, Dutton Ranch, seems to move day to day, similar to Landman, and he's supposed to be in rehab for like several months. So no way he's staying on several months.
If he doesn't come back, I mean, that'll be kind of wild to that poor guy. It's like he, you know, gets two episodes and then... It's kind of a main character-ish.
Yeah.
You know, and then so to not show up again would be wild.
Casey kept East Camp. All right, so I'm just going to say I don't know how Marshalls ended. But I don't think the shows will cross over. They're both under the Taylor Sheridan umbrella, but I'm just thinking that would be too soon. I think they'll keep them separate.
I want to talk about Carter and Oriana. I know that was our poll about Oriana. Hot take. Actually, I don't know if it's a hot take. I'm liking their relationship. I love how much she's like Beth. I've already said that on previous podcasts, but I'm really enjoying their relationship.
Hot take. I think she kind of sucks. I'm just...
Wait, why? Why?
She called him out of school to go see if her boyfriend was cheating on her. Like, that is like the epitome of game playing and manipulation.
Okay, heard, but Carter has a backbone. I know he's in love, so, you know, puppy dog eyes just gonna follow. And okay, yes, I don't love the fact that she uses Carter, but I'm gonna tell you, hold on. Just hold on. I don't know, she's not bugging me. I just like that she's
You've
not
seen more than
she's
I
She's
not
an she's not a oh my gosh. Michelle Randolph from Ainsley. She's not Ainsley.
No. She's got more depth than Ainsley Norris, but just in terms of like, do I hope this is the girl that Carter spends his life with and becomes like part of this sort of fabric for the next several seasons? At this point, I do not. I hope at the end of the season, Carter kicks her to the curb and finds another girl.
Would you have said that about that? Beth Dutton is, she would have been that for Rip. You know what I mean? And then
yeah,
look at
young,
them now. We
young
love
Beth
them.
Beth Dutton was terrible, but I hated young Beth Dutton. She was really manipulative.
But if you hadn't stuck around, we wouldn't get Beth and Rip.
We didn't stick around. We didn't find out young Beth sucked until like the flashback episode started and like the, you know, throughout seasons one and two. Like,
I'm
that's
just
when
saying,
we kind of learned.
Give it some time. Give it some hope, Billy.
So
want to know
Oriana
in the comments,
calls him out of school. They go to see if Hoyt heard that boyfriend is cheating. Spoiler alert, he was. They get pulled over. The sheriff kind of gives him a talking to. Then they go back to his house slash room, smoke some weed, and fall asleep. Is that a synopsis of what happened with Oriana and Carter?
That's pretty good.
Pretty PG sanitized. I mean, she's an interesting character. And I think that those scenes against Beulah Jackson are really good. But at this point, I'm just like, not a fan of her act.
Okay, we'll circle back to that.
Is there something coming? Is there something coming in episode 4 that I need to know about?
No.
Right, James.
You just might like her a little bit more.
Carter.
Okay, well, you're not wrong. She does manipulate Carter.
She All does. Right. And Carter is a bit of a puppy dog. He's kind of spineless at this point.
He is, which kind of surprises me that he's not more, doesn't have more of a backbone, just given who he's being parented by, you know?
Would agree. Yeah, I would agree with that totally. I think, and maybe that changed, you know, they're going to have this little battle, this little war, perhaps that'll change here coming up pretty soon.
I would love to know what breaking news you have that you just threw that in there.
Ratings for Dutton Ranch are in. We now know.
Ooh.
Dutton Ranch episodes 1 and 2 are the, it's the most watched launch of a show in Paramount Plus history. 12.9 million people watched episodes 1 and 2 in like the first 10 days or so. Another nearly 3 million on Paramount Network, making it, I think it tops Mobland as the most watched show. Paramount Plus, so significant ratings for, and that all but guarantees a season 2 of this show, I would think.
What did Yellowstone premiere on? Did it premiere on Paramount? Like, are we competing against Yellowstone numbers?
No, it was on Paramount Network, the cable
okay.
channel.
I'm
so we're more comparing to 1883,
okay.
1923, and then a more direct comparison, The Madison had 8 million people in the first 10. Now, listen, all these numbers, they're provided by like Paramount's press department. Do I take them as like a whole Bible? Hog truth? No, they're inflated. But you kind of, if you could kind of compare apples and apples, you can get a feel for how popular a show is. And we've certainly seen that this show's more popular just based in like some of the content we've produced. Numbers for this podcast are up. Some of our other reaction and breakdown videos afterwards are up. The editorial we do at Taste of Country, we're getting some good traffic on. So there's a lot more interest in this show than we've had really in any show since season 1, 1923, maybe.
Hmm.
It's been a bit.
which is wild. I want to talk about, obviously, in episode 3, we have a major curveball, and I feel like the curveball that took up primarily the biggest part of the episode was the foot and mouth disease that they find with the bull, right?
The bull's okay. Rip thinks the bull might be responsible for the foot and mouth. It was just one of the other cows. Okay, be honest. Did you have a good feel for foot and mouth, or were you also Googling foot and mouth?
Well, so here's the interesting thing. Do you think I Googled that? No, I didn't. I just took it as what it was. But there is something called hand, foot, and mouth for kids. You've heard of that.
That's different.
I know that's different, but that's what I originally thought of. I just didn't know if it like derived from. Okay, anyways,
Old enough, you might remember like 20 years ago, there was like a nationwide foot and mouth outbreak. And I remember this because we went to Busch Gardens in Tampa at the time. And everybody had to step in like this like little sanitized water thing to make sure their shoes were good. And no, we didn't infect the animals there at the Busch Gardens tropical paradise. The degree to which it's still a problem seems to be debated in the online community that I read. I don't know necessarily that it's you have to put the cow down as quickly as Rip did, but it's certainly going to be difficult to sell to high-end restaurants if people find out that your cattle are all riddled with foot and mouth disease.
All I'm going to say is episode 4 is a doozy on that.
Oh, it's a big foot and mouth?
Yeah.
That disappoints me, I got to admit.
Well, I would just say something happens that really will change the trajectory of the ranch.
Okay, we'll get to episode 4 in a second here, but I did immediately have a theory just because I've watched a lot of these shows now. Was foot and mouth introduced by a particular neighbor? That's what I was thinking, is somehow Joaquin or Rob Will or Beulah sent someone over to the Dutton Ranch and introduced this illness. That was my thought, but no one seems to suspect that yet.
That's also what I originally thought as well.
But come on. Another one of these plot lines we're borrowing from Yellowstone, right? It was the brucellosis at the end of episode 5.
That's true. Oh, that's true.
We're all deep in our Googles on brucellosis and now foot and mouth. It's like, okay, you know, there's more interesting things that happen on the ranch than cow diseases.
At first, I thought the bull had been bitten by a snake. And then I realized
that was rabid.
Or that.
Like a rabid cow, because it was foaming. I mean, we're such city kids.
Rabid cows just out there. Well, let's just say we find the derivative of where the bull came from. And you'll get answers to if it's the neighbors or not. And then also you'll get answers to how they're going to handle the foot and mouth. And it's sad. Period.
Well, are we... I don't want to get to episode 4 quite yet. I have one plot hole.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
And then let's pivot to episode 4 if we could.
Yeah.
And I think I told you there was two things people really wanted to talk about in the comments section. The first one was Carter and Oriana.
Yes.
You know, is she too old for him? That was a big theory. Is Oriana too old for him? First, how do you feel about the age gap between them? Do you think there's an age gap? What are your thoughts there?
Are people just frustrated by the age gap because they're assuming the age gap? We don't know how old Oriana is.
Well, he's in high school and she's not.
Yeah, but remember, he's college. He's technically college age. He's 19 years old. He literally said that.
She's buying beers. They were drinking beers in the first episode.
Okay, just kidding. I guess he's 21. No. He's 19. No, please hold. He's 19 because remember when he was buying beers, he was like, I'm only 19. And she's like, you look older than that. They're not even going to question it. And he goes up.
I think she bought him beers. Later, because he didn't buy those beers for Oriana. He bought those beers for that other blonde that tricks him into giving beer to their friends.
Okay, if she's 21 or 22, he's 19, I don't have a problem with it.
All right. That was just a question. All right. I was just asking. I'm not going to. All right. Big thing. So people wanted to talk a lot about that. The other thing people wanted to talk about was how long it takes to drive from Rio Paloma to Dallas. Your topic's coming up. Don't worry. Okay, but the drive from Rio, one person thought that Beth's pickup truck must be a time machine because she made that drive from Rio Paloma to Dallas and back in the span of a day with a stop in San Antonio at the butcher included. People were really, really wanted to point out that plot hole.
Yeah. Cause it probably, be
I was
good
okay with it.
I bet one way. Cause what, it's supposed to be in West Texas. Wait, no. South Texas. Rio Paloma, South Texas.
What's San Antonio to Dallas? How many miles?
It's about 4 hours, 4.5 hours. From Austin to Dallas, it's about 3.
And I think there's another hour.
4.5.
So that's 10 hours of driving. Doable. That is a lot of driving.
That is a lot of driving. It's not unrealistic, but considering, you know, she probably spent, an hour or two pitching the meat and all the above.
All right. Anyways, let's get to episode 4. I have the trailer here if you want to watch it. Let's watch it once, and then I'm going to go back through and kind of start and stop it.
We got off on the wrong foot. Let me make it up with a drink.
I'll pass.
Rio Paloma's a small town, Beth.
On the next episode of Dutton Ranch.
That's it?
Well, I apologize, guys. I thought I had the full episode 4 trailer, and it was just 10 episodes in it. I'll have to troubleshoot that for next time. But there was some things in the trailer that I thought were interesting. One, Rip is spotted roughing up a new character that we haven't seen yet. He has him pushed up against the wall. And the second one, Carter appears to go into like some sort of feed and seed store asking about other ranches. I'm not really sure. It sounded like he was looking for a job, but I don't think that's quite right. And there's some sort of shady character in the background who scoots on out of there quickly. And he's in the trailer. So we have some new characters being introduced this episode. Neither one of them seem to be good guys.
I love knowing stuff that you don't know.
Give me something.
Cheers.
Just give me like something else we got to watch out for that might happen.
Well, I kind of gave you the teaser about the cattle. Carter is looking for a job. Oops.
Carter is okay. So that
Carter is looking for a job.
Wow, gee, he gets fired from Beth and Rip?
No. You will, without giving it away, A plus B will equal C as to why he's looking for a job to help. You know, the cattle having some foot and mouth issues over here, and that's their way of life.
All right. I see. He's a spy. He's a mole.
He's
spying on another ranch trying to get a job. Maybe that's my theory. No.
Okay. I give you here's what's happening more or less. And you go, okay, perfect. So on top of that, I'm like, no, just take it for what it is, Billy. Just take it for what it is.
All right. Fair enough.
Can we do
trailer?
They
also blow up a trailer. A trailer explodes. And in the trailer, it looks like it's Whitney's trailer. It's not. She lives in more of a neighborhood. So this is a different trailer that gets blown up. Again, we don't know whose that is yet. It seems like a lot of new action to take place in a single episode. Is all I'm saying. A lot of new characters, certainly, anyway.
Yeah, there are, yes, two new characters. But one dissolves pretty quickly. Yeah.
Is there any more Oriana and Carter romance?
Can you remind me, did she take off her clothes in episode 3?
She did. Episode 3 ends in her bedroom. She changes into his shirt. They smoke a joint.
Okay.
He kind of falls asleep, and she's next to him, kind of kissing on him, and then she decides to wake him up a little bit, and then she removes the rest of her clothes, and the camera cuts away. Presumably, they're a thing.
Okay, and Beth has not entered the chat.
Side note here, and if you watched my recap video, I mentioned this, 19 years old, beautiful girl laying next to me in bed and only a shirt. I'm falling asleep. I don't know Like, even if I'm up till sunrise trying to figure out how to make a move, I don't know that I'd be able to fall asleep at that age.
Heard. And also, though, I appreciate that they're kind of keeping it innocent, you know, for now.
But they didn't keep it innocent.
I know.
They did for a minute, and then it got really, really not innocent.
Yeah. Okay, you got a good point. Anyways.
That's all I got there.
Yes, we'll see a little bit more.
Of... I'm not going to say he doesn't work hard. I'm just saying, you know, you can sleep when you're dead, son.
We're going to get a little bit more of them and Beth in the mix, but not as much. I would say it's not a them-heavy episode. We have other fish to fry.
Fair enough. Good so far. Let me check the chat here. I don't remember. Do we have another topic to bring on here on a recap or with regards to the trailer?
We're going to chit-chat about some trivia is what I've got for us next.
I'm just taking a quick peek here to see if there's any questions from the chat that we've missed. Really, really just a great listener so far today as well. Thank you for everybody who's tuned in. If you're new to the channel, we do this typically on Tuesdays. Tuesdays at 2 p.m. is our normal time. We're on Wednesday today due to the Memorial Day weekend, but we'll be back at Tuesday, 2 p.m. Central time for the live broadcast next week.
Yes. Bada bing, bada boom. I was...
R. Jenkins says Taylor has nothing to do with Marshalls. He wrote Dutton Ranch. That's half true. He doesn't have anything to do with Marshalls, but Chad Feehan wrote Dutton Ranch. So he really doesn't have too much to do with Dutton Ranch either, outside of just being an executive producer, maybe an advisor, and creating the characters.
I'm ready for trivia, if you are.
Trivia. Let's start with last week's trivia question. What song is Everett singing as he prepares to put the horse down in the field, and why is that song appropriate for the scene?
I don't know.
It was a country song or a country pop country singer from the 70s, 80s. The song was the artist was Linda Ronstadt, and the song was called Old Paint because it was a paint horse. Is why
what does
it's
that
appropriate
mean?
To that scene. It has to do with the coloring on it. You know, it's black and white, or I forget what color that particular horse was.
You want to know?
That's why it was appropriate.
You want to know a fun fact about me that has to do with horses?
I do.
So growing up, and I really have don't ask me to prove this because I've really gotten out of practice, but. I used to paint growing up, and I would enter different art competitions, and I did a lot of horse painting art competitions, and I won several. And anyways,
that's all right.
So yeah, that's all I wanted to tell you. So I can paint a horse. I just didn't know what that type
did
of
you ever
breed
paint
was.
A paint?
No, that's why I was wondering what I did an Arabian horse.
So we actually had no winner this week. So the trivia question must have been too hard. And I apologize for that. Typically, we'll choose one answer from all correct answers in the comment section of our video or email to staff@tasteofcountry.com, and you'll get a great piece of Dutton Rules merchandise. But we didn't have a winner this week, which is kind of a first. So I've made the question a little bit easier for this week's one.
Interesting. I'm excited to see what your or hear what your easier is.
Hold on. There's an asset that goes along with it here. Let's get to this. There she is. All right. So this week's trivia question for that Dutton Rule shirt. Anna Dupree threatens to kill Dutton Ranch farmhand Zachariah because he killed her daughter, Teresa. Mm-hmm. This is the scene we get to learn all about Zachariah's backstory, what sent him to jail, etc. That is actress Dale Dickey, and she's been in dozens of TV shows and films, including a popular NBC comedy from the early 2000s. Which show was it, and what was her character's nickname?
Interesting. I don't know, but
kinda
I'm excited to find out.
You recognize that face. I mean, she has been in maybe 100 different shows, and she always has like a really, really memorable, look to her. And she's actually a Tennessee native as well. So if you know, staff@tasteofcountry.com, and I'll choose one of those correct answers.
Alrighty, I'm here to dive into our Q&A next. Are you ready, Billy?
I am ready.
Alrighty, the first one is from Shannon, who says, I'm sure they had the ranch in Montana insured, but there is no way they could rebuild on that land for the foreseeable future. Nothing is growing on burnt out land for a while. True. That soil destroyed.
Has to do with our question of why they didn't just rebuild on that ranch. Mm-hmm. And that is something I would not have thought of. You know, along the way here, if you're a longtime viewer, like, we encourage people who know more about subjects like farming and cattle and to speak up and speak the truth here, because we certainly miss things. And I mean, that's a great point. You can't just replant the next summer because a lot of those nutrients in the soil would be dead. And that's important for the cattle to feed. So thank you very much to Shannon for that email question.
This next one is my favorite. Okay, are you ready?
I'm ready.
I need to clear my throat for this one. Martin Nickel 1313 on YouTube says, HEB isn't just a grocery store. They are Texas version of FEMA. If there's a disaster in Texas, they have a fleet of trucks and other equipment they send out to help with relief efforts. Truly Texas.
We talked about HEB last week. And Addison freaked out about it because she is such a fan. I think we did a small commercial for him. And the number of comments about HEB was overwhelming. Emails, comments, like,
they're amazing.
Thank you, because it's engagement. Engagement is good for these videos, but
they really, and I haven't really thought about how they really are Texas's version of FEMA. Because they have, like, when we had Hurricane Harvey and it affected mainly Houston, but when I went to Texas A&M, College Station is only maybe less than an hour away from Houston, and we experienced really bad flooding as well. And yeah, HEB, they were loading up vehicles to send our way and all the above. They're pretty darn cool.
We should at least get some HEB merch up in here. Like, have a t-shirt next time you're wearing. Do they call them HEB? Does anybody call them HEB for short? No. All right.
Billy, if you say HEB, you immediately know that you're not from Texas. So you do you, boo, but I would suggest maybe don't call in it HEB. All righty. At Beware Dap Hog says, I don't think Carter was taking a nap. That was definitely the first time he had ever smoked weed.
Okay, this is a fair point.
Yeah, I agree.
She got him too baked and he passed out. Okay.
Yeah, I like that.
Did you see the size of that baggie of weed she pulled out of her boot?
Yes, but I don't know what the normal amount is. I've never smoked weed.
That was a good amount. Like, that wasn't just like she had a joint in there, but she had a joint and reserves. Like, so, like, a joint for two people, good for a long, you know, you don't need to smoke like two joints. If you just, there's no reason, right? That'd be like having 18 beers instead of 12 beers or six beers, whatever your limit is. But she had that and then enough for like eight more joints, probably. I mean, she had a huge. I did not see that coming from Oriana. She didn't seem like a goody two shoes. I'm not going to say that, but she didn't seem like a pothead in any sort of way.
Well, James says that Oriana is a dealer. Surely not. I mean, maybe, but surely not. Doesn't that seem a little?
I mean, I don't think that Mariano's just in the weed smuggling business. I mean, if they're going to those great lengths to smuggle it in, like, I've got to think it's some harder narcotics.
Do I have time for one more?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Vicky says, I love seeing Beth and Rip in the shower scene. Wow. That was literally steamy. I loved when they went to the bar and Rip got Beth out on the dance floor. That was a huge moment for me. Their dancing has always been a favorite part of Yellowstone for me.
It's nice to see Rip's softer side. Vicky, by the way, listening in Canada, and she emailed a really, really kind email. She's a big fan of the series, but also a big fan of our podcast. And I saw she had tuned in earlier and having some audio problems. I hope she got that worked out. But Vicky, thank you very much for that email and that question. I too like when, I like when cowboys go dance. It just kind of shows, on TV, it shows a little more depth to the character, but that softer side is certainly appreciated.
I agree. And I love that it's two-stepping and not line dancing. Anyways, I digress. I'll just leave us there. Alrighty, do you want to wrap with the music that we heard in episode 3?
Episode 3, just one song of consequence I'm afraid. And that was a great song from Lindy Ortega. It's called Till the Going Gets Gone, and that was playing as Beulah walked up the steps and stared across her bedroom walls and got all nostalgic. And then Ariana made her move on Carter. That was Lindy Ortega. Go stream that song. It's a really good song, but that was really the only song I heard from episode 3. Good music, but not nearly as much music as we're get used to from like shows like Yellowstone.
I agree. Alrighty, y'all, stuff at tasteofcountry.com is where you can leave your trivia answer. If you have any thoughts of episode 3 or anything that we talked about, that's where you can leave it there, or on the YouTube version of this live. Yeah. Do you have anything else, Billy? Or I'm going to close us.
You're going to keep the streak alive the whole season?
What? Having a planned outro?
A planned outro that we don't stumble through and we take it on one take?
You know, if anything, this just shows our listeners that I'm not perfect. Alrighty, y'all. The Dutton Rules Yellowstone Franchise Podcast is another credits sleuthing Townsquare Media podcast.
Another imperfect podcast. All right, that's it. Thank you. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Bye, y'all.